that we have our beautiful daughter and that we're able to be here tonight. Today, the title of my message is Friends or Foe. And the reason this topic came in my mind is a lot of children are going back to school, and a lot of young people are heavily influenced. And I think it's important for us all to know, how do you discern a true friend and a secret friend, a wolf in sheep's clothing? So when it comes to our walk with Christ, not everyone has our intentions or our values. And in the passage that I'm about to read, 2 Peter 2, it actually warns us of the dangers of false teachers. And tonight, I want us to think about the theme, friend or foe. My first point of how to identify these false friends or these bad teachers is in verse 1 to 3, which I will read now. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction, and many will follow their sensuality. And because of them, the way of the truth will be blasphemed. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their condemnation from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Notice a very important word there, secretly. The text uses secretly in this sense, because false friends don't come waving a banner saying, I am a false friend, I'm out to get you. They say, I'm here to deceive you. They come quietly, subtly, and attractively. They're the popular sense. They're the people that you want to be around. Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are ravenous wolves. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves in sin. They promise spiritualness, but their message pulls away from the true gospel. Church, this is why we have to test each and every teaching, each and every friend. Discernment is a key part of the Christian life. Every single person should be judged with discernment, especially as your walk with Christ. My second point being, God judges his enemies, but protects his friends. Continuing in the reading in Peter 2, chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until the judgment, if he did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a herald of righteousness within the seven others, and he brought a flood among the world of ungodliness, if by turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ash, he condemned them to extinction, making them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as the righteous man lived amongst the day after day, he was tormenting his soul over their lawless deeds, and he saw and heard, then the Lord knows how to escape the godly from trials and to keep the righteous under punishment until the day of judgment, and especially those who indulge in the lust of defiling passion and despite authority, bold and willfully. They do not tremble and they blaspheme the glorious ones. Peter gives very heavy examples of the punishment that these people face. The angels who sinned in verse 4, the world in Noah's day, and Sodom and Gomorrah. This allows us to see that the punishment for sin is death, The punishment of following these false friends is death. Each example shows us that God does not overlook evil. Judgment always comes. Judgment always comes to the evil. He also reminds us that in the middle of judgment, God knows how to deliver the righteous. Verse 7 says, "And delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked." Verse 8 says, "For that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds." Lot was a righteous man. He didn't partake in the sins and the lust of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was righteous and strong in his faith, surrounded by these people. But what does it say? His soul was tormented, griefed because of the evil around him. This means that even if your friends, even if the people you surround yourself are evil, you are tormenting your soul. Even if you say, "Well, my friends do this, but I do this. My friends are like that, and I'm like this. I'm strong in my faith. I'm firmly grounded in Christ. I will not stray from my path." The Bible says, do not torment your soul as Lot did. Church, isn't that how we feel today? Isn't that how we feel today in our world? You can't turn on the news, you can't turn on social media, and you can't even walk to your workplace and hide yourself from this wickedness. You feel bombarded and tormented by the evilness of this world, because if you're not with them, you're against them. A lot like Lot, our souls can be tormented just because of the environment that we're in. But there's hope. God says that there is hope for us. Because just like God delivered Lot, he will come and deliver us. He will come and take us from this place. He will rapture us from this place because we are his children. Because he knows that this torment is not for free. Because there is a price to pay for sin. Because living in the sin is not something that we can do. Living in sin is death. Don't be discouraged by evil. God is not blind. These foes will pay their price. Even if it may seem that they are sheeps, they are wolves in sheep's clothing, they will too face judgment. My third point being, a foe is revealed by their fruit. This is where discernment comes in. Okay, well, maybe your friends are secretive. They're subtle. They peer pressure you. They instill these worldly ideas in your head. Well, how can you tell that these people are from God or they're secretly out to get you? Peter describes false teachers as wells without water in verse 17. They look refreshing, but they're empty. Clouds carried by a tempest, unstable, tossed around. They promise liberty, but are themselves slaves of corruption, verse 19. And then he ends that with a strong image, verse 22. A dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed to her wallowing in a mire. In other words, you can cover it up for a while, but the true nature will always come out. A foe themselves never has fruit. A tree that is not watered will die. Ask your friends to be watered. See if you can water within them. See what the fruit that they bear. Because if they bear no fruit, then they themselves are dead in sin. Jesus said in Matthew 7:20, "By their fruits you will know." True friends of Christ bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. But foes of Christ produce the works of the flesh, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Don't be fooled by appearances. A true friend of Christ will always bear the evidence of the flesh. And a true friend of Christ will always bear the evidence of the Spirit. So, church, let me bring it back to the question. Is your friend a friend or a foe? False friends may look the part, but their teaching doesn't match. God's foes will face judgment, but their friends will always be delivered. We have the greatest friend of all, Jesus Christ. Look to him, because the friends that you have are who you become. Do you spend every day in the Word? Do you spend every day with your friend Jesus? That is what we must do as Christians. Because we want to be more Christ-like. So we have to be with Christ. Because inherently, sitting with your friends, you become more like each other. You have an inside joke where maybe something is funny to the both of you. It doesn't even have to register your mind before you both laugh. Let it be known that when you read the scripture, the world around you appears more Christ-like. You enjoy the presence of the Lord every single day when you read the scripture and you're connected with him. And it doesn't even have to come second nature, as if you and your friend are sitting together and you meet somebody that's hostile. You know right away between the both of you that they are hostile. That is how it should be with the Lord. That discernment is second nature. It's something that's always in your mind. You don't have to think about it when you're one with Christ, because it's almost like an inside joke between you and Christ. Oh, well, I don't think that that message was from God. It's a inside joke between you and God. So let's not let anyone have influence over our souls. Let's not have anyone torment our souls. And let's stay anchored in the word of God so that we can tell the difference. Peter later writes in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the call. Keep growing in Christ, and you will always know your friend and who is your foe. Now I ask you, church, have grace with Christ. Have the knowledge of Christ so that way you may be grounded. Because just as he came and saved Lot, just as he came and saved Noah, he will too save us. Now, I invite the worship team to come up. And I ask that we dwell on that, and that we dwell on our Jesus coming back, our friend. Amen.